Good morning. Glad you could be here this morning. We want to welcome our guests. We're talking about the love of God. We started last week with Jesus was asked a question about the greatest commandment in the law. And he said there were actually two: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this morning we're going to read from 1 John. John had a very special relationship with the Lord. He was referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And if you remember at the Last Supper, when Jesus said, "Somebody's going to betray me," Peter motioned to John to ask. I guess Peter figured if he'll tell anybody, he's going to tell John. And after the resurrection, when Jesus told Peter how he was going to die, Peter turned around and said, "What about him?" Pointing to John. And Jesus said, "If I will that he remains till I come back, what's that to you?" And a rumor started in the church that the Lord would come back before John the Apostle died. We're going to talk about God is love. And the text is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. We have the word on the wall. I'm preaching from the ESV. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Father, I thank you that your word never returns to you void, but it will accomplish what you send it out to do. And now, Lord, I ask that you would let me decrease that you might increase. Father, just anoint the preaching of your word and share with us the truth that you want us to get a hold of today. I ask you this and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen." Jesus talked a lot about love. And remember, he told his disciples, "This is how the world will know that you are my disciples, if you speak in tongues." Is that what he said? No. "If you have the faith to heal the sick and raise the dead." He didn't say that. Now, I believe in those gifts, so I'm not sitting here telling you they don't exist. But Jesus said the mark of his disciple is that they love one another. And before he left, he told his church, "A commandment that I'm going to give you is that I want you to love one another as I have loved you." Today, we're talking about agape love. And I told you last week, agape and agapeo basically mean the same thing. But when the writers were referring to God, very often they used the word agape. And the root word of that means to have a special love and a special relationship with someone. Jesus talked about how the Father loved him, and that word was agape. He and the Father had a special relationship. But you remember in his high priestly prayer, he asked the Father that the love that he had would be in his church. So today we're talking about agape love. And as I said, it means the love, the active love that God had for his Son, that he has for his people, and the active love we are to have for God, the Son, and one another, and even our enemies. Charles Finney referred to God's benevolence. I don't hear that word used much anymore. Webster says benevolence is an affection that is willing to show kindness. And man, that's what the offer of Christ is. It was a gift of kindness. We didn't deserve it. And at no time did God look at mankind and say, okay, now they're ready to be saved. Now they've lived virtuous enough lives that I'm going to open the way for them to come to me. That's not what he said. In fact, the scripture said, while we were his enemies, Christ died for us. So he has every right to tell us to love our enemies. So in the agape love of God, he is willing to show kindness, and he has a special love for you and for I. But guess what? It doesn't stop there. Sometimes we Christians think we have this special love of God and the unbeliever doesn't. But as I said, benevolence, defined by Finney in his systematic theology, is disinterested. And today we hear that and say, well, that means God doesn't care. No, disinterested in that time in the English language meant unconditional. God chooses to love even the unlovely. So the agape love of God is not restricted to the church. We're to have that for one another. But we're to have that for other people. We're to have that for the lost. We're to have that for the vilest offenders. And we have trouble with that. Because we think of love as an emotion, as a feeling. And that's not what God's talking about when he says to love. John said, if we love one another, love is from God, and God is love. And I've been meditating on that all week. And, you know, I'm a little sick, but not as sick as some, and probably sicker than others. And I came to a conclusion this week. God is love. John took the Creator, God, and he used one word to describe him, to talk about his attributes, his character. He said, God is love. So if God is love, that means everything he does, the motivation is love. That's why we're commanded in the Bible to have a faith that works by love. We're going to be talking the next couple weeks from 1 Corinthians 13 when Paul gives a description of what agape love is, what it looks like, and what it is not. So God says, you love me with all your heart, you love one another with all your heart, and you love even your enemies with all your heart. And that love means be concerned for their welfare. I'll tell you what, church, and I'm including myself in this statement, one of the biggest sins I see in the church today among our members and our pastors, we've lost our love for lost souls. We're not interceding for the lost. We don't share our testimony on the streets. I told you this before. Sinners are coming out of the closet by droves and the church is going in. We don't want to cause waves. We don't want to be labeled as intolerant and bigoted. So rather than call sin what it is, we compromise with the world. And that's not what we've been called to do. Jesus said to love one another as he loved us, and that love is sacrificial. It's a giving love. If your love is always receiving and always demanding, that is not the love of God. The love of God is sacrificial. In his theology, in moral government, Finney explained that God, in his benevolence, wants the benefit of the whole universe that he's created. And he said God didn't dictate moral law just because he's God. He gave it because it's right. And it's the right thing to do, and it's the loving thing to do. And I have heard people say, well, if God is such a loving God, I don't think he'll send anyone to hell. You're right. He won't. He did everything he could to keep us out of hell. If you go there, you're paddling your own canoe. I read where God was talking to the prophet Ezekiel, and he was laying some judgment on the prophet to lay on Israel. And there's a place in Ezekiel, it seems like God is speaking just one-on-one with Ezekiel, kind of sharing thoughts. But he said, I don't delight in the death of the wicked. My Bible says God is willing that every person will come to a knowledge of repentance and come to him for life. That's his will. And we pray in the church, oh God, show us your will. I've already shown it to you. It's written in the Word. Christians, if we spend more time in the Word than in the idiot box or in our favorite novels, maybe we reconnect again with the Holy Spirit and realize that God wants us out there saving the lost, leading them to Jesus Christ. John Wesley, when he began to train ministers, he said the priority is to save the lost at any cost. Whatever it costs you, save the lost. Well, that's not good preaching today. That's meddling. You go talking about what I do with my money, you're meddling. Well, if you belong to God, it ain't your money, it's His. He's letting you hold it for Him. And it's under His direction is what should be done with it. Jesus talked to a group of Jews. The Bible says they believed in Him. They heard His preaching, they'd seen His miracles, and it said they believed. And Jesus said to them, if you'll continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And all of a sudden, these believers got mad at Him. They said, we've never been in bondage to any man. Jesus said, you're in bondage to sin, and that's why I'm here. I've come here to set you free. Well, then they eventually, in the argument, Jesus kept saying, you're of your father. These were Jews who believed in Him. Today in the church, we would call them Christians. Well, they believed the gospel, they received it, they're children of God. Jesus was not taken in that quickly. He began to probe the heart of these people. He knew they believed in Him because it says, He said to those. How did He know that? He's the discerner of all the hearts of men and women. Jesus knew their thoughts. And He encouraged them. Number one, He said, if you believe in Me, I came here to set you free from sin because you're a slave of sin. That offended them. It offends people today in churches. You talk about sin. I didn't come here to get beat. I'm going to tell you something. I can't convict you. Only the Holy Spirit does that. So if you're listening to a message and you come under the conviction, understand that's the Holy Spirit. And it's because of God's love, because He said, I will baptize you, my children. That proves you're my children, because I don't want to judge you with the world. Jesus said to these people, you're of your father. And He'd go on talking. Now, earlier, some of the Jews was ready to stone Jesus because He said, I and the Father are one. And they picked up rocks, and Jesus said, what are you going to stone me for? What good work did you see? And they said, well, not for good work, but you've made yourself equal with God. Well, in this discourse, Jesus was talking, and He said, you're your father. They said, Abraham's our father. Jesus said, if Abraham was your father, you'd do what Abraham did. He said, you want to kill me, and Abraham wouldn't do that. He said, a man that told you the truth. So they jumped up a step and said, well, we weren't born of immorality. God is our father. I often wonder why Jesus didn't pick up a rock and say, what did you just say? God is your father? You know what He said? If God were your father, you would love Me. He always goes back to the love. And that just irritates us. You know, well, I just love Sister So-and-so. She's so sweet. She wouldn't say boo to a goose. It's easy to love the lovely. But you see, the agape love of God extends to all men and women. He loves you and me just as much as He loves the drunk sitting in the bar today. Drinking bourbon and beer. Cursing His name. Now, does he and that drunk have a special relationship? No. But God loves him. He's worried about that man or that woman. He's concerned about the destiny of their souls. Are we? Well, you know, that's how God loves. And brother, nobody can love like God. That's a lie. How do I know that? Because the Apostle Paul said to the church in the epistle to the Romans, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through His Holy Spirit. So it's there, church. If you have the Spirit of Christ in you, the love of God is in you. Are you letting it work through you? Jesus promised His church. He said, it's good for you that I go away, because when I go, I'm going to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said He'll convict the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness. Well, how's He going to do that? Through the preaching of the Word, through the testimony of Christians. When we stand, and we don't have to get ugly, but we can stand and say, you're wrong, world, that's sin. And Christ came to set you free from that and stand our ground. Jesus said it to these Jews. He said, you know how I know that God isn't your Father? Let's put it in the negative. He said, you know how I know He isn't your Father? Because you don't love me. What John said. Here's how we know that we know God, if we love one another. In Jeremiah 31, God said, the days are coming when I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Not like the old covenant I made with our fathers when I brought them out of Egypt, because they did not stay in that covenant. He said, I am going to be in them. And they will be my people, and I will be their God, and I'll write my law in their hearts. And no longer will a man need to teach his neighbor and say, know the Lord, because he said, they'll all know me. And church, there are people today in churches all across this country claim to know God, and all they know is about God. Big difference. You can know about God, and I think hell is filled with professing Christians who never knew God, they just knew about Him. James calls that demonic faith. He said, even the demons believe in God and they tremble. But see, they don't stop being demons. And John here is talking about the agape love of God. And John is saying, look, this is how you know that you know God. If you love one another. Paul said it this way, Christian love, agape love, should prefer that others are served ahead of us. I was at Walmart a while back waiting on a prescription, and they had this long line, and this guy cut in front of me. He started talking to this other guy, and I used to do it in the lunch line at school, and you start working your way around as you're talking, and before long you're in front of the person you're talking to. So I knew exactly what he was doing. I watched him talk, and his daughter came up and said, Pa, you're in this man's way. He looked at me and said, I didn't cut in front of you. I said, that's all right. I got time. Now, on the inside, that ain't what I thought. You old codger, you did cut in front of me. And I was born at night, but not last night. I used to do that in the lunch line at school. If you was careful, you could cut in five or six places ahead of you just by visiting with people. And I realized that's not the love of God. Paul said you prefer that they're served ahead of you. The Holy Spirit rebuked me. I'm glad He didn't do it out loud, but in my heart, He rebuked me, in my mind. He said, that's not the love of God. Show the love of God. Okay. I wanted to tell him where liars go. I thought that'd be one way of showing him the love of God. You know, you cut running me and you lied about it, you know where liars go. Get to share a testimony. I remember a brother told me one time he worked in prison. He saw these Muslim inmates, and they pray five times a day, Muslims do. And he said they were on their prayer rugs, and they were bound. And he said, I walked by and said, y'all going to hell if you don't stop that. He said, I planted a seed. I said, no, you build a wall. He said, well, you believe Muslims are going to heaven? I said, no. I said, that's not the way to share Jesus Christ.
Jesus didn't do it.
When he met the woman at the well, he said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, I know. You've had five, and the guy you're living with is not your husband. Now, most preachers would have got up in her face and said, oh, you wicked woman. Get rid of that man, and maybe God will save you. Now, what Jesus said, go call your husband. That's the love of God. It was the love of God that enabled Jesus on the cross to say, Father, forgive them. And you know God did. Jesus always got his prayer answered. Every Roman soldier, every Jew on that hill, everybody that spit at him, threw rocks at him, and cursed him, God wiped that out of their record. He said, okay, I'll forgive. That's the agape love of God. That's what makes it so special. And it's open to all individuals, and we need to remember that in church. We plot about how to get the lost in the church, and that's totally the opposite of what Jesus commanded the church to do. He said, you go. Yeah, but Lord, I don't want to go to that part of town. What if somebody sees me in that part of town? I went into the tavern one day. My dad was there. I hadn't seen him in a while. And I went in and sat down. And the bartender said, what do you have? And they're all watching the ball game. I said, give me a 7-Up. He looked at me kind of funny. He gave me a 7-Up. My dad turned around and said, what in the world are you doing here? I said, well, I came to see you. He said, I didn't think you preachers would come into a place like that. And when he said preacher, it cleared the bar. I kid you not, everybody got up. We had the whole bar to ourselves. And I said, well, Dad, just because I'm a preacher don't mean I won't come in here to see you. And one of the ladies at the Nazarene church heard about it. And I was their associate pastor, and she came and said, Pastor, you should not have been seen in that tavern. I said, whoever reported on me, all they had to do was come and ask me why I was there. How do you know God didn't want me to start a Bible study? Oh, God wouldn't do that. Well, why wouldn't he? Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call the sinners. Where are you going to find the sinners? At the bar, on the square, at the ball games. Love looks for the lost. Purposeful. Some of you have lost relatives and you've never shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Well, I don't know how to quote all them scriptures. You don't have to quote scriptures. All you need to be able to tell them is, what has Jesus Christ done in your life? And you better be living it when you do. You know why most of us don't share our faith with our family members? Because they know us better than anybody else. And we're afraid they're going to say, oh yeah, you're a Christian. You do this. I heard you say that. God says, if you love me, you'll keep what I command. Jesus said that to his men. And you know what he said? He said, I didn't say that. The Father told me to say it. The Father told the Son, here's the evidence of your church's love if they love you. And you see the love that we love Christ with, and most of us have no trouble loving him. And I'm talking about in the affectionate sense, but that love, according to God, according to our Lord, according to the Holy Spirit, that love should cause us to love each other. Do you know what that sister said to me? No, I don't, and I don't care. Forgive her. Well, she's never asked for forgiveness. Well, that just makes it that much more benevolent when you forgive her. Well, you know what that preacher said? Forgive him. Preachers make a lot of mistakes, church. I'm not preaching at you. I'm talking with you as your brother in Christ. And these rules apply to me. God says of Rick Johnson, if he really loves me, he's going to love the church. And he's going to love his enemies. I don't think I got any enemies that I know of. I probably do, you just don't realize it, but he said you're going to love them. Now, is that affection? Nope. Doesn't have anything to do with me feeling affection for somebody. It means that I'm genuinely concerned about their moral condition. That's what agape loves. And John said it this way, if we can't love one another, we're liars if we say, well, we know God. And therefore, I say a lot of people in the church today, and I don't mean here, I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. A lot of people in the body of Christ, all they know is about God. They have never had an experience with Christ. You cannot be saved until you know you're a sinner. And when you come to Christ, you should come to him as the publican in that story. And it said he wouldn't even look up to heaven. He said, Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, that man went home justified. But Paul said this, how are they going to hear the word unless it's preached? How is the preacher going to preach unless he's sent? Now, I'm a preacher. I've been called to preach. I've come to terms with that. I've been preaching for about 17 years, and I finally come to terms with, okay, because I asked God just about every year, are you sure? Is this what you've called me to do? People get mad at me. God, why can't I be a music minister? Nobody gets mad at the music minister. You just play your guitar and sing, and they go, oh, that was so lovely. God bless you. I'm just so blessed. God says, nope, that ain't what I called you for. I called you to preach. And when I preach the word, and I'm preaching the truth, and this isn't to condemn any of you. I am saying, as Paul said, look within yourself. Paul said, examine yourself. Are you walking in love? If the answer is no, the scriptures are very plain. If we will confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of unrighteousness. If you're a Christian, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, that love is there. You have to allow it to come out. You have to allow that love to usurp authority over your will, where it becomes God's will, and you become a vessel fit for use, Paul said. How else is the Holy Spirit going to convict the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness except through the body of Jesus Christ? Is the church his body? Yes. Is he the head of the body? Yes. So the body ought to be doing what the head's telling it to. If it doesn't, then we talk about there's something wrong. If you've had a stroke, you've had a head injury, and your brain might tell your left arm to move, and your left arm says, that ain't happening, baby. I can't move. Well, if the head of the church is Jesus Christ, he loves the lost. And he didn't save you and me so we could just sit in church on Sunday, Wednesday, and Sunday night and sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, how I love the Lord. When somebody tells me they love the Lord, I tend to inspect fruit. Jesus said I could do that. He told me not to judge, but he said I couldn't inspect the fruit. Who are you sharing it with? Who are you loving in the place it's hard? God has called the church to the ministry of reconciliation. You've been reconciled. You know what God says? Now go out and tell other people that I want to reconcile. And I provided the way to reconcile to Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God. That's where we got to get back in that mindset, church. It's not me that's going to save people. It's God's word. And especially when it's preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, or when your testimony is given in the power of the Holy Spirit, and by that I mean the Spirit of Christ controls you, and you can testify with a clear conscience to people. I used to do this, but now I don't. I had a guy come to me one time, a professed Christian, told me about a woman he met online. He went and spent the weekend with her, and I said, do you understand that sin? He said, it's okay, Pastor. She teaches a youth class at this church in Nixon. I said, are you serious? Yeah. He said, I won't tell you the name of the church. I said, you better not, because I'll call the pastor and alert him. You need to get this woman out of your teaching until she repents. That was the mindset of a professed Christian. You know what that told me about that man? And I told him this. You know about God, but you don't know him. she knows about God, and she doesn't know him. And he said, her 13-year-old girl was so snotty to me. I said, I don't blame her, Warner. She didn't cut your throat. I said, here she hears her mom teaching on Sundays about being a Christian woman, and at home, she's bringing different men every weekend. He said, well, how do you know that? I said, she brought you there, didn't she? You met her on the internet, and you showed up. I said, you think you're the first guy she's invited over? And I thought of that scripture in Proverbs where it says that the lips of the adulteress drip like honey, but her feet lead to death. When a man is succumbed and induced into that, God said, you're not very smart. I didn't say it either. And he said, the young man doesn't realize that that path he's taking leads to death. The love of God should constrain us, young men. You know, when you're in sexual temptation, and I know our young people get in it, at least things haven't changed since I was a teenager, what you need to think about is, do I really love God or do I love me? Because if you go ahead and succumb to that, at that moment in your walk, you're loving yourself rather than him. And we ought to be able to say, as Joseph did, I won't offend my God though. I love him. What John said to the church, brothers and sisters, don't love with word of mouth. Love with deeds. That's how we show the love of God to one another. Oh, I know some people hate that verse. Paul says, love one another tenderly, forgive one another just as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. But yeah, God, you don't know what they did to me. God knows exactly what they did, and he's saying you forgive. I mean, Jesus put a condition on unforgiveness. That's why it's such a horrendous sin to God, and it's a big sin. It rates up there with homosexuality and adultery and drunkenness in God's eyes. Unforgiveness. God said, I forgave you all that, a lifetime of sin, and you can't forgive your fellow servant for one incident? Peter said, well, how many should I do that? Seven? The rabbi said three. So Peter doubled it and added one. That was Peter. Hey, Lord, if I forgive seven times, and Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. What? He said, if you bring your gift to the altar, you're worshiping God. That's what you're doing when you bring the gift. He says, you bring your gift to the altar. You've come to the altar to worship, and you remember somebody has something against you. Not that you got it against them. They got it against you. What Jesus said, leave your gift there. Go to that person. Be reconciled. Then come and offer your worship. You know why? Because if you have unforgiveness in your heart, God won't accept your worship. He said the prayers of the wicked are an abomination to me. Who are you calling wicked? I'm not calling anybody wicked. The Word of God calls us wicked, including me. I have had times that I'll think of a person, and if anger boils up, I've learned now to go to my knees and say, Father, help me forgive. Because if I won't forgive, he won't forgive. That's his love. You know, God's allowing people to go to the lake of fire. That's his love. You see, we're made in his image. We're immortal. Our spirits are. It says in Ecclesiastes that when man dies, the body goes to the ground, the spirit goes to God who gave it. And God says, when your spirit comes to me, we're going to have a powwow. That's my interpretation of the Hebrew. We're going to talk. And I'm going to judge you. And you're either going to come and live with me for eternity, or the other God, the one you've made your God. And that's love. Well, how do you see that? How would you like Adolf Hitler to still be alive? Huh? Mm-mm. Attila the Hun, Nero, some of the wickedest men we had in the century of this planet. Can you see God's mercy in ending their lives? I do. When Moses asked to see God's glory, God said, you can't see my face, but I'll declare my glory. He said he covered his face with his hand. Oh, man, I'd love to be in there. Oh, and he said, I am the Lord God, gracious and slow to anger, desiring to show mercy. And Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. What does that mean? If I am unmerciful, Jesus said, be careful how you judge, because I will judge you with the same measure. Whoa. Some of us better start praying for a crop failure. Yeah, Paul said, we're going to reap what we've sown. And I'll tell you, there's been a lot of times as a Christian I've had to say, God, I don't want that crop to mature. Forgive me. And sometimes it means I've had to go to people and humble myself and say, I'm sorry. My first 2 years in ministry, I ate so much crow. Oh, I'm a preacher, man. I know what I'm talking about. Try to hit people lightning bolts in the Lord's sake. People apologize, man. Well, yeah, but that makes it look like I don't know what I'm doing. Well, what's the point? Just go apologize. John said, this agape love of God sent Christ that we might live through him. God didn't look at me the day I finally got serious with him, and I fell on my knees and I said, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And I know God arranged it that way because I couldn't have got saved in a church because I was confessing my sins out loud. And I don't think some minister would come and say, well, God bless him. He said, get the kids and the women out of here. My gosh. Preacher was telling about one revival in Arkansas. And he had the evangelist Billy Sundayson. And Billy Sunday was very animated. He preached the message on the sin of alcohol. And he had four or five fifths of whiskey up there. He made the point, just crash that whiskey. And he'd tell all the bar owners, you're going to hell. Because you are profiting off the sin and misery of people. Well, that preacher said this man came to the altar, and he began to weep, and he began to confess his sins, and he said, Billy Sunday, he stood there and listened to it, and said, my God, if I'd lived like that, I'd have cried too. The preacher said, I didn't know what to say. God sent the Son so we could live through him. If you're alive in Christ, which I'm assuming you are, you're supposed to share that. I was asked the other day if I would be interested in working with the drug court. I'm not bragging on me. They said, the judge is a Christian at this court, but she can't share her faith. So she wants to know if there's any Christians interested in working with these meth heads. And she said, I heard your testimony, and I know you used to be a meth head. She came up and said, I've got a job for you. I always cringe when I hear that. You know, sometimes your idea of a good job isn't good to me. But when she started sharing it, I said, I'd be glad to. And I'm excited. I get to share Jesus Christ with these dopers. And my testimony is, I used to be where you're at, but I'm not now. I don't look like a meth freak now. One guy said, boy, Pastor, when you quit doing meth, it come back on you with a vengeance. Amen. That's the love of God. John said if we don't show that love, it shows to the world, to the church, to the angels, to the Father, to the Son, we don't know him. Remember what he prayed? Father, I wish you would grant eternal life to all these you have given me, and this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God. There are people playing in heaven as their home would not be happy. If they were there now, they would not be happy. They think heaven's going to be a place where I can ride horses and do all this other stuff. Everything I read about heaven, we will be focused on worshiping. And if you don't want to worship him now, why do you think you want to go to a place where that's what you'll do for eternity? You stand with me. That song Dr. Mark sang, I just love it. The love of God, so rich and pure, so measureless and strong. God reached out to us when we were sinners. The Bible says when we were His enemies, He commended His love to us in this. He proved it to us by allowing His Son to die for us. Christian, when's the last time you shared that with somebody? Well, I don't want to be a religious fanatic. I'm thankful for religious fanatics. Noah was a religious fanatic. And I sure praise God that he was. But we may not be here today. If you've never received Christ, if you've never called on His name, don't leave here today without doing it. Call on His name. He says, call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. And then you can enter into this special relationship I'm talking about, and you'll know a love that you've never known. I thought I knew what love was till I came to Christ. And the thing with me, it just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper. It's like, oh, I didn't know you could have this kind of relationship with someone. Would you come as we sing the song of invitation?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you, for me. Beyond the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Begin a series this Sunday night on the book of Genesis. So I'm really looking forward to that. I hope you can be here for that. Are there any concerns you had you want to share with the body before we just test? Okay. I'd like to ask Brother Larry to say the closing prayer, please.
Father God, we thank you for the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ. The ultimate love. We ask you through your Holy Spirit to fill each individual here that they can have that agape love that Rick was talking about this morning. We ask that you bless any requests, mental, physical, healing, spiritual healing, Lord, that we can recover from these things. Anything unspoken that anyone would have, we just ask you to bless that request. Go with us now, Father, as we depart here and bless us. And we pray that each individual has met a need here today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.